Yeah, we got too much to do. She sings so long. Welcome back. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host. You heard 1/8 of an ounce of Natalie Merchant. Can you name that song in 3 notes? If you've listened to the show more than 10 seconds, you can name that song. 610-720-7900. Please join us. If your call is the question of the week, the caller of the week, you will not only become famous throughout the More Than Money family, because we'll post that to the blog, to our website, then we'll also release it as part of one of our blogs. Thousands of people will have access to your wisdom, your insight, your question. Actually, to be honest, your question, my wisdom, my insight, we'll see. And that'll be fantastic. And for the next 6 weeks, each of the next 6 weeks' winners will receive The Secrets of Lake Road by Karen Catcher, Bethlehem authoress, and it's a scary movie. It's a scary book, dude. I'm telling you, it's drenched in mysterious and haunting atmosphere. Young lady, that's hard working, very, very hard working, and I think you will absolutely enjoy the book. It is autographed first edition of her first novel, and many more novels to come, I can assure you. So this is, you want to get in on the ground floor. If you are joining us, just joining us, we welcome you. You should be aware, of course, that we covered a lot of ground in the first hour. We had five very, very good calls, very, very good questions. Talked a lot about home office deductions and the impact thereof, the IRS owing people money, how long you need to retain financial records, and what to do with them when you know you no longer need them to protect your identity. Whew. You might want to check that, and easy to check. As of Monday, it'll be posted on the website. So just grab the first hour, and you've got it in hand. If you were not with us for the first hour, you should also know that you should circle. 3 weeks from today, we'll be up in Cherryville, Bethany Wesleyan Church, to help raise funds for Through These Hands at their annual craft fest. Fantastic crafts, unbelievable food, and a great organization. Come on up and join us. 610-720-7900. In the first hour, we talked about the markets and the fact that when the markets opened yesterday, the Dow dropped dramatically, 200 plus or minus points. And yet, by the end of the day, was up 200 points. And I asked if you had an opinion of why, how you might interpret that. And so far, all I'm hearing is crickets. And I get that. That's a head scratcher. It's a head scratcher. In our office yesterday afternoon, I posed that very same question. And as all the associate advisors kind of offered up their opinions, and that's what they are, their opinions. You can't, you know, these pundits that go on financial shows at 4:05 in the afternoons. The market was up 200 today. Let me explain to you why. You know what? You can't explain to me why. All you have is theories and opinions. Because we're talking about tens of thousands of company stocks trading billions of shares of stocks for hundreds and hundreds of reasons. So there is no one reason why anything happens. Is there an emotional component? Of course. Do they have to talk nonstop because they got to fill 24/7 with air, of dead air with something? Sure. Doesn't make them right. However, thank God I'm here. Yes. I will give you my interpretation. Does not make it correct. You will soon find it's quite insightful, but insightful does not make it correct. Okay, can we agree on that? Insightful does not make it correct. Here's the gig. The initial immediate significant drop, in my opinion, was the knee-jerk emotional reaction to the jobs report. That's not terribly insightful. I think that's pretty easily kind of concluded. It's the 400-point bounce that I think has some very interesting potential for the near term in the markets. Because if the only thing that was different at the end of the day, than at the beginning was the opinion by many, many people, the majority of those in active in the market yesterday, that when the market went down 200 points, they looked at whatever individual stocks or whatever indexes they were looking at, and they went, that is really cheap. That is a really good price. And I get that there was a bad jobs report released like 10 minutes ago, but that's a really good price. I would really be interested in buying some fill-in-the-blanks. Any stock that you can think of, fill-in-the-blanks. The S&P 500 index, fill-in-the-blanks. Dow Jones index, fill-in-the-blanks. Fill-in-the-blanks of anything in the equity market. There was a concerted majority vote. They voted with their dollars that said, you know what, this is really cheap. This, yeah. If I go over here, I make nothing. If I go over here, I make teeny tiny amounts. If I go over here, I could, I'm at risk. I get that. The equity markets create risk. I get that. But I've been sitting on the sidelines, and I think this is cheap. Now, if that, if I am reading the tea leaves correctly, Madam Jean, I shall foretell your fortune. Call for an appointment. Hey, if she were a psychic, why do I need to call for an appointment? Won't she know I'm coming? See? See? That's a Bobby Gunter Waltz show. I try to give credit where I can. By the way, in 2 weeks, I'll forget he told it, and then I'll just think it was mine. So, bottom line is, I think that yesterday may be an indicator that if we have not bottomed out, we are close. Because I think there were just an awful lot of people who looked at yesterday and went, are you kidding? I can buy fill in the blank for a 10, 15, 20% discount. I got to get some of this stuff. Now, do I think the volatility is over? Nope. 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 No, it's not. 610-720-7900. Call me. You may be the caller of the week. You may win the Karen Ketcher's book, Secrets of Lake Road. You may be famous. Gene at AskMTM.com works as well. One of my favorite people, one of my favorite people on the planet, sends me an email, says she and her very good friend, by all reports, wonderful guy, on their way, out and around. Wanted to know if you own rental properties in an LLC, if you can write that mortgage off on your taxes. And the answer is yes. Yes. LLCs are, for tax purposes, what are referred to as pass-throughs. Pass-throughs. And pass-throughs say whatever happens inside the LLC gets passed through to your personal tax return. So if something is deductible personally, it is also deductible in an LLC. If it's deductible in an LLC, it also passes through to your personal tax return. So that works out really well, really, really well. Now, a lot of folks go, now, wait a second. If it's a pass-through, if there's really no difference in owning it in an LLC or owning it outright, why have an LLC? It, remember what LLC stands for, limited liability company. Limited liability company. Limited liability. That's the key. That's the key. It is a legal entity that you have created that will, to a lesser or greater degree, provide you with legal protection should something go wrong. There are a number of folks who would advocate that if you are going to invest in rental properties, that you create an LLC for each individual property, so that if there is a financial problem, a lawsuit, etc., that you might lose that property, but you would not lose any other properties. There are other folks who have expressed the opinion that that's not as bulletproof as it sounds, but the reality is that that's why LLCs were created, to create that limited liability, and yet to keep the accounting, the tax issues, as much simpler than they previously were when only the corporate structure was available. So LLC, can it be a good idea? Absolutely can be. Should you counsel with your tax advisors prior to doing it? Whether that is a CPA or your tax attorney, the answer is absolutely yes. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Let's go to the phones. We talk to Nancy. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
How may we serve you?
Thank you. I have a question regarding Social Security. I am eligible for it in August, and I just decided to go for it in October.
Okay.
And I got a call back from them, and I'm wanting to know if you could explain to me Social Security benefits as a spouse. Like, they told me that I could take mine or I could take it from my husband's, which his would be more. And it sounds good, but I'm just wondering if there's something I'm missing.
Oh, excellent question. And actually a bit psychic on your part, because that was one of the highlights of a question that we got off air that I wanted to make sure I covered this morning.
Yay.
So very, very good. How old is your husband?
71.
And he's collecting Social Security benefits as we speak, obviously.
Yes.
All right. Here's kind of the general guidelines, and I think you'll see pretty quickly where you might benefit from this. You can absolutely collect your own benefits. That's never been in question. You already knew that. Everybody knows that. And your benefits are going to be X. And I'm just picking a number out of thin air because I don't want you to be too revealing on air. Let's say that your benefit is $1,000. And let's say, just for the sake of demonstration, that your husband's current benefits are $3,000. I'm again just picking a number out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security says you have options. You can select your benefit, receive $1,000, and go home. They're perfectly comfortable with you doing that. However, you can select what's referred to as a spousal benefit, which is typically half of your husband's benefit. So if indeed your husband were currently earning or receiving $3,000 a month, your spousal benefit would be $1,500 a month. And logically, then, of course, you would elect that because it would provide you with tremendous amount larger income. Now, some folks, depending on your benefits, and I literally picked those numbers out of thin air, so those numbers may be correct or very incorrect. Depending on the comparison of your benefits, if your benefits are very, very close, or if perhaps yours are even higher than his, that entire description may be wrong. Mm-hmm. If your benefit is $2,500 a month and his benefit he's currently collecting is $1,500 a month, half of his is $750. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Correct.
So you've got to look at the relative value of your spousal benefit versus your own benefit. Now, there's one additional benefit of going spousal, and that's it. You could elect to take the spousal benefit and delay your own benefit. Mm-hmm. And if you delay it until age 70, it will hit its absolute maximum. And if between now and age 70, the growth in your personal benefit will end up being larger than your spousal benefit, you can take spousal today, take it for the next 6 years, plus or minus. When your benefit now exceeds the spousal, you shift gears, you turn off the spousal, and you take your own personal benefit and get more money.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And there are a lot of scenarios exactly kind of like this, where if you just have a little bit of insight, you can see how the system can be work to your best advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Did I help a little?
That is wonderful. And actually, what is really encouraging, since I'm not a government person, I actually got a call telling me this information, and I was like, can't be right. They can't be telling me this. So that's why I needed to check with you to see.
Well,
and that's exciting.
It is exciting.
Very good news.
And
yeah.
I've got to tell everyone in the Lehigh Valley that the folks in the that provide answers to Social Security questions in the Lehigh Valley are head and shoulders above what other parts of the country are experience. There are a number of folks that we have dealt with through the Social Security system They shall remain nameless because they're very shy. But they're wonderful people. They try really, really, really hard to give folks in the Lehigh Valley the best information they can so that they get the benefits that they deserve. So I'm glad to hear your report. I'm glad that we were able to help just a little bit.
Thank you very much. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yep. Have a great day.
You Thanks. Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Social Security, it's on my list. It's right there. Thank you so much, Nancy. It absolutely brings into focus that there are a number of moving parts. A lot of folks seem to think that Social Security is this just very, very cut and dried. When I retire, I get Social Security. Well, likely that is true. However, there are many, many, many planning opportunities that will affect whether you accept Social Security relatively early, relatively late. And then if you're married, the combinations of different types of benefits make the decisions even a bit more challenging. I'll give you a perfect example. I'll give you a couple examples of kind of little wrinklish things. If your health is poor, most folks are aware that if you collect Social Security and pass away, that as far as you're concerned, you're done. If your health is poor, then you're likely going to want to create your Social Security benefit stream as quickly as you can. So for a lot of folks who say you should never take Social Security early because it costs you a lot of money, it won't cost you a lot of money if your health is poor and your life expectancy is relatively short. So taking money as early as you can makes a lot of sense. Here's another guideline. A lot of folks say, I'm not really sure when I should take Social Security. Well, if the answer to my question, and my question would be, do you have enough income to pay your bills? And if your answer is, nope, we have solved your Social Security question. Because if you don't have enough income to pay bills without taking Social Security, it doesn't matter what age you are. You must take it. Now, here's another kind of a wrinkle. A lot of folks say, I'm going to take it at 62. I'm going to take it as soon as I can because I don't think it's going to be around, and I'm going to stuff those dollars in my pocket. Okay, that's certainly one philosophy. A lot of folks who do that are not aware that there are limitations on how much income, earned income, you can generate before you start not just having your benefits taxed, but losing benefits. If you're above the maximum allowed earned income and you're below full retirement age, you will lose a dollar of benefits for every $2 you're above the max. So let's just use simple numbers. If the max is $15,000 a year, you're 62 years old, you're collecting $2,000 a month, 24 grand, and you're still working. But you're going to collect because, by golly, you're going to get something from that Social Security system. And you have earned, make it easy on Gene, $55,000. That is $40,000 above the limit. You lose $1 of benefits for every $2 of additional earnings. You will lose $20,000 of your $24,000. Bad idea. Really bad idea. Now, let's think in quite the opposite direction. The difference between collecting at 62 and collecting at 70. 70 is the maximum age you can wait. There is absolutely no advantage to waiting beyond 70 in any way, shape, or form. So at 70, you will collect. You will collect. Or suffer the wrath. I have no idea where that came from. I apologize. I was possessed. Bottom line is the difference between taking at 62 and taking at 70 is that at 70, your benefits will be roughly double. So if your benefit at 62 is $1,600 a month, at 70, it's going to be like $3,200 a month. That's a huge difference. And just as we just talked about, what if your health is dreadful? You might want to grab something. What if your health is terrific? And what if your family history is fantastic? What if your mom and or dad are still tooling around? They're 90 years old, and they're just like Dick Van Dyke. They just got married, and they're worried about accidental pregnancies. I mean, we're talking seriously alive people. Waiting until 70 might end up being one of the best moves you could possibly make, because it will not only give you a tremendously large increased monthly benefit, but if you are correct and the bus avoids you and your health stays solid, you could end up collecting tens or hundreds of thousands more. Now, when will you know that you've picked exactly the right Social Security selection? Exactly. About 20 seconds after the doctor pronounces you. Time of death. No, we're not talking about my More Than Money show. Come on. Time of death was 11 years ago. Come on. You won't know, because you can have fantastic health, family history of tremendous longevity, and still get hit by a bus. Not really sure how to kind of gauge that. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. God knows. And I mean that. I don't mean like God knows. I mean God. He knows. But he ain't telling. So great question. Great question, Nancy. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. 610-720-7900. Just as a reminder, if you are the question of the week, you get posted to the website. You get attached to one of our blogs going out to thousands of folks, and you get an autographed copy of Karen Ketcher's brand new book, The Secrets of Lake Road. Scary stuff. Mysterious stuff. You like that kind of stuff? Autographed first edition from yours truly. How much time there, sir? Okay, what are we going to do? 3 minutes. What are we going to do? Can I do something simple? Sure. Young lady writes that she has a small $28,000 account with an advisor. Her advisor, who happens to be a woman, has not contacted her in 4 years. She's a little disappointed. She thought a woman-to-woman advisor might make a whole lot more sense, and she might have a better understanding, but in reality, she just hasn't paid any attention to her whatsoever. This young lady recently changed jobs and needs to move her 401k, which has $141,000 in it, a very serious sum of money. And she is wondering two things. Is she just too small to be receive good service from an advisor? And number two, if there are advisors who would give her good service, must she contact her current advisor to get permission to change the account? The answer is no to both of those questions. So number one, no, you are not too small. You will now have total over nearly $170,000 in assets. That is wonderfully worthy where I come from. That is a substantial sum of money you deserve and will receive from any reasonable financial advisor. Excellent advice and service. And number two, do you have to contact your current advisor? No. Your current advisor has no ability to prevent you from moving your account and is not necessary in the process. If you identify a new and trusted financial advisor, the advisor that you are selecting will complete the appropriate paperwork, will affect the transfer of the account from your current advisor. Let's be honest, your current non-advisor, because she's just melted away. You never need to speak to her, not only to move the account, you never need to speak to her again. 610-720-7900. We have Doug on hold. We have two lines available for you this morning. Gene@askmtm.com and morethanmoneyonline.com, all available at your request just to become part of our More Than Money radio show. Voice of an Angel says, hey, only a half an hour left. Actually, when we come back, 23 and a half minutes. So make sure you get your phone call. Make sure you get on hold. We'll take your calls right after this on More Than Money. Okay, good. Excellent. perfect. Lots to do. We have lots to do. She sings too long. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. Let's go to the phones. We talk to Doug. Doug, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Gene?
I'm doing very well, sir. How may we serve you?
Well, you were talking earlier about the taxation of gains on the home sale. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, that when you sell a house in Pennsylvania, $1 of any gain is fully taxable by Pennsylvania income tax.
Oh, I strongly suspect that you are correct. Yeah, when I'm talking about being able to avoid
federal
taxation,
yeah.
It's federal tax, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that so with Pennsylvania?
As far as I know, in addition to my parents being very proud that I'm not an attorney, I am also not a CPA. So as Doug, you well know, in my office, we've got CPAs and
right.
EAs galore. So it is my understanding, yes, Pennsylvania taxes the gain on a residence. If I have gotten that incorrect, I guarantee you Monday morning they will be waiting for me, and I will make sure I correct my error. But I at the moment I think you are correct that Pennsylvania taxes what the Fed does not.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, indeed, sir. Indeed.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Take care.
Right. Yep. Bye bye.
610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Circling back, thank you, Doug. Doug reminded me that I'm circling back to a question that we actually started with in the 8 o'clock hour. A couple, he is 77, she is 74. They own two homes. Can they sell one residence without paying? They know they can sell a residence without paying tax. Well, we kind of went through that. Maybe they don't pay tax. Likely they don't pay tax. But there are scenarios where they might. But then they have the second home. And the question was, what will the tax be on the second home? And let's just pick a number and say they paid $100 and it's worth $500. So they have a $400,000 profit. Some way, shape, or form, tax on $400,000 is due and payable. Or not. How could it not be? Here's the interesting wrinkle. If you sell your residence, they've been in the residence decades, say it's 30 years, and they take all that money, and they pay no tax, well, Pennsylvania, but they pay no federal tax, where are they going to live? Well, if they are tax sensitive, they might choose to live in their vacation home for a couple of years. You say, well, why would they do that? Well, and a lot of people say, well, for a couple of years. What, they're waiting for something? Actually, yes, and the word couple is very important because the IRS says you can sell a residence and pay no tax on gains for a married couple up to $500,000 if it's been your residence for... Yeah, 2 years, not 20 years, not forever, and there's no limitation to how many times you can do this. So here's the wrinkle. Let's say each of the homes, $500,000, they sell the first one, they pay no tax because it was their residence. They then, and I'm talking absolutely legitimately, 100%, we're not playing games, we're not living someplace else, we're not filing false returns, we're doing it by the book. They go live in their, what is now their vacation home. And they live there for 2 years. They sell it for $500,000, there's $400,000 of profit, they pay no tax. They pay no tax. So is it possible that these two young folks might end up selling, pick a number, $1 million worth of real estate and paying zero income tax, federal income tax? Yeah, it's possible. It's available. Oh, and if you extend that idea just a little bit, folks say every 2 years, it's very interesting. Is it possible to buy a house, live in it for 2 years, sell it for a profit, and pay no tax. We already agree that is. Is it possible to do it basically every 2 years and do it instead of twice, do it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times? The answer is yup. The IRS code fully supports that. Now, to be fair, most folks, if you were to describe that kind of an existence, they would go, why don't you just shoot me? Moving every 2 years? Oh my, I would not ever want to do that. So I absolutely understand that this idea is not for everybody. It may not even be for a small fraction. It may be for less than 10% of the people listening. It may be for less than 5%. But now think about what it may be for that special 5%. Let's I'll paint two scenarios where it might work out for the folks involved. Let's say you're a young couple needing two incomes, but wanting to start a family and wanting mom to be able to stay at home with the children. Could you decide, and I mean that in the very real sense of decide, make the strategic decision, choose to buy a home that admittedly needs a lot of work and live in it for 2 years, and put all that work into it. Mom's at home every single day. Sell it for a profit. And instead of doing what has been done for the last 50 years in America, I sold it for $100,000. I've got to buy a $200,000 house. How about you bought it for $100,000, you sold it for $150,000, and you buy another $100,000 home, because you're not looking to upgrade, you're looking to use that $50,000 profit tax free as a replacement for mom's income. So in essence, she would have been paid. I think that's a pretty reasonable way of looking at it, $25,000 a year. Tax-free. No Social Security taxes, no unemployment taxes, no taxes, no right-to-work tax. Hey, I'll give you a right-to-work. No tax. 25 grand a year, working from home, paying no tax. How about the opposite end of the spectrum? How about there's somebody who's... pick a number, say 60, and through no fault of their own, they've lost their job. Kids are out of the house. They likely were going to downsize anyway. And he and she look at each other and go, you know, we've always enjoyed fixing up houses. It's fun. When we're watching TV, we're watching, you know, Flip This House and You Flip This House and other rude named shows and Real Estate Guys and Rehab Addicts. She's adorable. Oh my gosh. She is just adorable and pretty smart girl. But bottom line is, you go, you know what? I don't think financially we were quite ready. We sure could use some supplemental income in retirement. Well, if you've got skills and you don't mind living out of a suitcase forever, for as long as it takes, you could certainly downsize, use some of those dollars, buy a home, a fixer upper, spend 2 years. 2 years is key. Got to follow the IRS code. Sell it, take the profit, pay no tax, and do it again. And do it as long as you wish. And for some folks, I get it, small percentage, some folks, that would be great fun. And they would absolutely enjoy themselves, and they would particularly enjoy the fact that Uncle Sam's getting basically nothing. They would like that part. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. If you join us on air this morning, you are in the running to become the question of the week. And if you are selected by the lovely and talented Joanne, you will be posted on our website, on our homepage, under More Than Money Connects as our question of the week. You will also then be part of a blog that we will send to thousands of our subscribers, and you might very well become known the world over, or or at least to Easton, and all the way down to Saucon Valley, Focalsville. Come on, we're all over the world. Bottom line is that we would be pleased to offer you that opportunity and receive a free copy, autographed first edition of The Secrets of Lake Road by Karen Catcher. Lovely girl. Our whole family. Husband's a great guy. Mother-in-law, fantastic. We know them very, very well, and I'm very, very proud of her. Writing a book's hard. She's done it, got it published, a major publisher, and contract for more. So she's an up-and-coming star. You're going to want a copy, autographed copy of this book through yours truly. Happy to help. Gentleman writes, he is retired. He and she are both retired. He's married. They're both 63. They'd like to open Roth IRAs and put in a maximum contribution for longevity protection. Very interesting idea. He's already kind of thought through the fact that his 401k rollover is going to end up, he's going to be forced to take money out at age 70, required minimum distributions, pay a lot of tax. He thinks that he may end up burning through those dollars. And he thinks that if he starts making contributions now, he and she, they can put somewhere in the order of 13 grand a year away. He figures over the next, say, 10 years, that's 130,000. It may earn something, may not, but it may earn something, so that when the time comes where his IRA is blown through, say at age 85, 20 plus years from now, 22 years from now, the money that he's put in hopefully has grown, and now he has some tax-free money to support he and his wife. Great plan. It's a fantastic plan. One problem. What must you have in order to create a Roth IRA? Yeah, in some way, shape, or form, you need a job. In order to qualify to put money into a Roth IRA, you must have earned income. Now, a job working somewhere, sure. A job in the sense that you are self-employed. Oh, sure. That works. So if you said to me, you know what, the reason I am retired is because I do not like going to the job. But I enjoy doing other things, and perhaps I could create a self-employment kind of a thing there. Sure. And then you are eligible to contribute, husband and wife, up to, I think, 13 grand a year, or 100% of your earned income, whichever is less. So if you make $8,000 a year, can you put all of that into a Roth? Yup. If you make $8,000 a year, can you put $13,000 into a Roth? Nope. Nope. We have to replace that microphone. It's getting a little goopy. So you got to follow the rules. You have to have earned income. Can you just put money into a Roth IRA because you happen to have a few bucks extra? The answer is sadly no. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Tim asks a question that I think this might be the third time I'm answering this question in just the last few weeks. He notes that the markets have been very, very choppy, and that for the year they're down substantially. True. Both those observations are absolutely correct. He owns a significant amount of gold, and yet has been frustrated to find that gold prices are basically flat. They haven't really risen at all. He would like me to explain that. I would like William Devane to explain that. I would like any one of these hucksters to explain that, because they are absolutely relentless at pounding the drum of gold. Ay, 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 ay. And yet, we've talked about this. Gold. 4 or 5 years ago, 1,900 an ounce. Now it's under 1,200 an ounce. It's just dropped. Forgive me. Dropped like a rock. Get it? Gold. Or. Okay. Bottom line is, in the observation of many who look at the economic landscape, their understanding of why gold has not risen is because gold is a commodity, as is silver, platinum, palladium, timber, sugar, cocoa, pork bellies. Gross. They're commodities, and their values rise and fall with demand. Probably the only thing you remember from your either high school or college economics course, supply and demand. If there's a good supply and low demand, price is going to be soft or fall. And the recent developments in China have kind of revealed that their economy is not growing the way they had formerly claimed. There's a lot of economic softness around the world. And as a result, crude oil has dropped. Oil has dropped. Silver has dropped. The kind of raw materials that would fuel growing economies, there seems to be lesser demand, lower prices. So William Devane, come on, he's just an actor. It's kind of like people going, well, I'm going to do it because Glenn Beck, oh, come on. He's a guy that talks on the radio. Now, there's a big difference, and I often will poo-poo the fact that guys that talk on the radio, come on. My day job for the last 780 years is to help people just like you with their financial pictures. So when I come on and start talking about these kinds of things, I talk about them differently because I talk about them in two different contexts. Number one, I talk about them in the context of I am helping people every single day meet these challenges. I didn't read a book. I didn't make something up. I'm not trying to sell you a newsletter. Ours is free. I'm also not trying to give you free dinners. We give away little tiny bottles of water. And only if you ask. So my agenda is really straightforward. I really want to help. And if the question that you need help with is investments, fantastic. Income taxes, we've covered a lot of those today. Estate planning, sure. Insurances, absolutely. We just want to help. As opposed to people who can express their opinions, God bless them, still America. Well, at least, 72% of what America should be. And but that doesn't make them right. 610-720-7900, Gene at askmtm.com. Tim has a lot of questions. Goodness gracious. Not sure we have enough time for all those. So I'm going to shift gears so that Tim does not. This one is from Janet. Janet says that she and her husband bought life insurance over 20 years ago to cover their mortgage. Makes a great deal of sense. God bless them. Mortgage is now paid off. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. The questions are, do they keep the insurance? Are there options about keeping the insurance or some other thing that they could do with it? She has a number of questions about the financial stability of the company. And then lastly, she makes the observation that the agent that sold her husband, she and her husband, this policy, left the insurance business 19 years ago. So she absolutely understands why she has not heard from him, because it was a family friend and he went into the business. Then he went out of the business. Oh, gosh. Never heard that story about life insurance agents before. No, pretty common. Pretty common situation. People try something, doesn't quite work out. And, of course, in life insurance, sell all your friends and family, and then you're gone. The bottom line is you do not need your life insurance agent. Thank God. He's been gone for 19 years. Any quality financial advisor can help you. You may have heard us talk in the past on air about our partner, Ash Brokerage. We partner with this amazing company. They are an independent, really important, independent insurance brokerage operation that will be able to evaluate any company's insurance program. So you have whatever you have. If you counsel with one of our More Than Money advisors, they'll collect the appropriate information. They'll provide it to Ash. They will evaluate your policy and give you all the options. In very general terms, you have a fair number of options with life insurance, especially cash value life insurance. You can certainly continue it. That may be in your best interest. You may wish to transform it into an income asset, exchange it from a life insurance contract to an annuity. You may wish to continue it, but in a different form. You might want to reduce the amount of death benefit and thereby reduce the amount of premiums that you need to pay. You might have half a dozen different options that you're looking at, and you need to know, first and foremost, the quality of the company and what you can expect if you don't do anything. And then you can ask the questions, the what if questions. What if we do this? What if we do that? What are our options? And through Ash Brokerage, independent, my good friend Dan Agito often says, fiercely independent. That's cool. Fiercely independent means the only thing we're interested in, the only thing we're interested in is what's best for you. 2.5 minutes to go on this edition of More Than Money, which means the phone lines are off. Whoever is the caller of the week is in this stack right here. Joanne will be selecting that on Monday. We'll be putting that to the website likely Wednesday. And once we've identified that, Joanne will reach out to you because we want to get a mailing address for you for the Secrets of Lake Road, either mailing address. Maybe we'll have you stop in. It's always nice to meet our listeners. Have you stopped in and picked a book up at our More Than Money World headquarters between Bethlehem and Nazareth? If you have listened this morning and said, hey, there are a fair number of things that I'm interested in. You know what? What I really need is a complete financial review, or I would like a second opinion on my financial plans, the things I have in place. We offer that to you at absolutely no charge. Our More Than Money financial advisors are not only willing, they're very happy to sit with you and go through where you are and where you're trying to get, where you're trying to be, and find out if there are ways to improve your opportunities along the way. If you're interested in just that kind of a no obligation, absolutely free second opinion meeting, easy to do. Gene@askmtm.com. You send me an email. We'll make sure that gets scheduled. You can do morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And, of course, you can always call. It's old-fashioned. I get it. But we still talk to people, and we really like it. 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks very much for spending part of your Saturday morning with me. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.